God does not need to show off to show up. Although I like when he shows off. If anybody can do it, it is he. Nothing about us halts the love of God for us. Now, what if you become an apostate? Well, then you've stopped it. That's a different deal. And you still have the rest of your life to correct it. You do not want to go to your grave in rejection of Christ, but don't, as long as you abide in Christ, don't you for one minute think that he does not love you.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue teaching his study called Bold Christlike Love in 1 John chapter 4.
I like this section in Corinthians. I've been reciting it a few times the last few sessions up here. Hopefully, I'm going to memorize this section. I tried years ago and got distracted, like you need to know all that, but I'm going to read it. It's the second Corinthian letter, which is just a beautiful letter. And of course, there are still those pockets of resistance in that church in Corinth that rejected the great apostle Paul, in spite of all the evidences. And so he takes them to task yet again. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He said, listen, I'm there too. Don't try to act like you've got some spiritual pedigree that I don't have. I've got the same thing. But let's take this a little more. So he continues. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He says, I'm sorry I even have to do this with you, but I'm going to lay it out. He says, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And he still has another shipwreck waiting for him. This is before his shipwreck on the Isle of Malta, where they survived. And so he survives the shipwreck at Malta just to be bitten by a serpent, a viper. That's ministry. That's the ministry of love. What other motivation could he have? He continues and journeys often, traveling. Who loves to travel? Well, don't raise your hand, because we don't do that. But you say maybe some of you do love to travel. I don't. I used to. But I got traveling out of my system. Paul is saying, in journeys, walking, inconvenience, hard times, getting from one place to another. He says, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. That went with the traveling. In perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen wanted to kill him so many times. They hounded him from city to city at times. In perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what come upon me every day. My deep concern for all the churches. Paul, you mean after all they put you through, you still love these people? He says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? I hate when Christians get messed up. And I don't hate them at all. I just hate the curse, the deal we're dealt in this life. But it's worth it to get to the other end. God is going to make it worth it. And he continues, I must boast. He says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, my weakness, that is. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus the king was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. How humiliating. Get in the basket, Paul. I will not. I walked in the door. I'm walking out. No, Paul, you can't do it that way. You are too valuable to us to hand Satan the victory. Please get in the basket. And he writes about it because it meant something to him. And it meant something to the people who read it. And it means something to us. John had his own struggles also. He was not exempt from struggles in Christ. He too was persecuted. And so he says he has given us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love. That is why these men were able to be the apostles of Jesus Christ and light candles in the dark for us, that we could do better. We can always do better. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. We have seen his work in truth, in logic, in spirit, in fact. We have seen God's work. We're not going to say we've not seen what we did. See with our own eyes, with our own heart. Isaiah wrote, even I, God speaking through him, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. But wait, it says right here, and sent the Son, Savior of the world. How do the Jehovah Witnesses justify refusing Jesus as being God the Savior? They don't. That's how. Double talk all they want. They don't. To preach the gospel, there was a Christian missionary, Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary to Burma, where he was persecuted, buried his children, his wife, his first wife. And they wouldn't let him preach Christ. He was always viewed as a foreigner. At one point in his ministry, he tried to appease them, and he wore the garb of a holy man, of a spiritual leader. And then he wore a different type to separate himself from the Buddhist leaders. And then he came to the realization, you know what, I'm just going to be me. I am who I am, and I'm going to preach the gospel. And he wrote, or said, that he was to preach the gospel, not anti-Buddhism. I'm still learning that lesson. I'm still learning to focus more on what Christ has done and not what everyone else is doing wrong. It's not easy. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses will go to you door to door and tell you that Jesus is not all that. And as a pastor, I'm supposed to ding that gong from time to time to remind us to stand up to them and not be shaken. But I'm also to remind us that our mission is not to focus on false religions, but on the true faith of God. Now, that does not mean that God has not given to the church those who have a calling and gift for exposing heresies and cults and false beliefs. But the average Christian is simply a witness for Jesus Christ, and hell is terrified that we are simply witnesses for Jesus Christ. So he tries to complicate it. Adoniram Judson, this was the verse that sent him to Burma, Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ. That's what I want. I want more of it. I've been somewhat of a gunslinger when it comes to attacking my enemies, even if, just defensive, quick to draw, quick to counterpunch, instead of just taking it. Because it's this fear of, if I don't protect myself, who will? If the others get to lie about me, who will undo those lies? Well, I know. Christ says, I will. I'll do it my way. Will that be good enough for you? Yeah, maybe, because I got this flesh. And yet I can say without hesitation that I have had a lot of victories in my Christian life because of Jesus Christ
And I would have had those victories in no other way. If I had done it my way, I would not have had the victories. Yeah, I mess up every now and then. Please don't point them out. I know. I probably see them before you do. And I'll not point yours out unless you insist. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And there's that mutual relationship. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know when you get water baptized, that's your confession? I am saying Jesus is the Son of God. And as my Son is human, God the Father's Son is God. And I am saying, I'm standing and I am admitting that with my life. I am baptized in the face of unbelievers all the time. That's the goal. My baptism was just not this flash moment in my life. It is a testimony. And it's very real, and Satan counts it that way. There are places in this world, if you get baptized in Jesus' name out in front of everybody, they're going to kill you or persecute you because they know what it means. Let's not be the ones who don't know what it means. We're supposed to know what it means. Whoever confesses it is a confession of faith. This love we have. If you take Jesus Christ and you simply make him a great figure amongst others, if you place him in any category less than equal with God, then you deny him, you dethrone him, and you damn your soul in the process. That's the prize for Satan. To sink, burn, or take you a prize. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Do we get that God loves us? I've asked this question before. Are you so busy preaching that Christ loves others that you forget he loves you? Maybe because you've got some hardship in your life. Maybe you're miserable in some areas of your life, and it's been a long time since you've felt joy. But you still preach that Christ is love and that he loves sinners. But do you believe he loves you? See, that's what the abiding part, that's what it, otherwise, what? Why emphasize it? Six times in this chapter, he uses that word, abide. Stay locked in. He doesn't let the reader get away from that. His repetitive, these emphasizing words of John make it difficult to read easily this passage because you keep repeating words because he's driving his point home. Nothing about us makes God love us. Nothing about us as sinners draws God to us. It is God's love that draws him to us. Oh, it gets better. So if I can't make God love me, then I can't make him stop loving me. Long as I abide in Christ. He's not going to say, what did you do? Oh, that's it. I love you no longer. He says, I knew that. I knew that when I started loving on you. That's why my love is eternal. And that's why I want you to take some of this love and let it flow through you. Oh, you can still be the type of person you are without sin. Elijah was, he's just not a people person. Elisha was. In fact, Elisha, the people person, said to Elijah, his teacher, give me a double dose of whatever it is God has laid on you. I'd like double. That's why I'm going to need it. I don't have enough to just have what you have. I need a double dose to make up for it. Elijah says, yeah, that's a hard one, but if you see me taken up, you've got it. Do you think Elisha took his eyes off his master after that? Do you think he let him get out of his sight after that? You mean all I got to do is stay focused on you? I'll do that. And he did do that. And when he got that double dose, the first thing he did was what his master did. He rolled up his mantle, he touched the Jordan, and it parted, and he walked across. Powerful illustrations from the Word of God. Do we know God loves us? Elijah, the prophet, knew it.
In fact, when he ran from a great day of victory, profound miracles, and then he gets word that there's a contract on your life, Elijah. And he flees to the wilderness, and he's hiding in a cave, and God ministers to him. And God initiates a relationship with him. And God says, you know what my servant needs? Not only does he need me to correct him on a few little things here, but I'm also going to pass by him. I'm going to make myself known to him yet again. And that's when Elijah says he wasn't in the earthquake. It was a still small voice. God does not need to show off to show up. Although I like when he shows off. If anybody can do it, it is he. Nothing about us halts the love of God for us. Now, what if you become an apostate? Well, then you've stopped it. That's a different deal. And you still have the rest of your life to correct it. You do not want to go to your grave in rejection of Christ, but don't, as long as you abide in Christ, don't you for one minute think that he does not love you in spite of everything about you. That, in fact, I'll put it this way, as much as you know about your shortcomings, God knows about 20 more that you've not gotten to, and he still loves you. You younger teens, maybe you're still living in the home and you're corrected a lot and you may feel unloved or picked on. So, no, I'm kidding. It's part of growing up. It's part of coming under authority. It has nothing to do with you being unloved. It's usually quite the opposite. You are loved. And love must correct that which is wrong. And so your parents deal with these things. It's okay. You'll do well. So well that one day will come when you'll be doing them to your own kids. The cycle of correction is one that helps, not hurts when done right. Now, what about those who say they follow Christ and suppose that they are justified in hating and slandering others who they disagree with? I mean, I have a disdain for the doctrine of Calvinism, but those are my brothers and sisters still. I'm not going to slander them and justify my wrath against them because we don't agree on this doctrine. I still love them. I can love wrong people, and they can love me back, thinking that I'm wrong. It's okay if we lighten up on certain areas and understand that just because we disagree with someone on something that's important to us does not justify meanness. I don't know that I've always gotten that one right. Thanks. Thanks to me, you know, sharing it with you. Anyway, too many of us are unskilled in love because we won't wait. We try to get out of those things that force us to love one another. And no matter how much you struggle to love, it is the one struggle you must never give up. No matter how many times you fail, you may fail at your devotions, you may fail at getting to church on time or this or that, and be very frustrated with yourself. And maybe even give up. But don't give up on trying to love. It's not worth it. God will get something out of you just for the effort. Because love is that powerful. We'll come back to that verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, this love has been perfected among us. That Greek word for perfected is it is finished. It's the same Greek word Jesus used from the cross. It is finished. It's done. The love of Christ, what is available to us, that is perfected. And it is given to us. It is repeated. He is repeating here in verse 17 what he said in verse 12. He says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness as in assurance, not rudeness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's boldness. To say, I know I'm saved. That's not arrogance. I'm not reckless. I'm not exceeding my authority. I'm entering into the authority Christ has given me to say, I know I'm saved. I have assurance. He's talking about judgment day, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We're not going to the great white throne. There'd be no boldness there. No one's going to have to shove us to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. We have recognized it and submit to it, and we love it. We love his lordship. No, boldness is not reckless. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, he goes on to say, self-control. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We are going to be bold in the sense of assurance when we stand before Christ. And we can even do it now. We can boldly come. So if I'm in my, I don't like to be interrupted when I'm preparing for a Sunday or a Thursday or any other time I have to minister the word. But my children have always known that they have access to me nonetheless. Now, if they want to come in and chit-chat about nonsensical things, I'm going to chase them out very nicely, at least the first time. You need to go. And, okay. I've told you before. Never mind. Back to this. But they know they can always come to me. And God is that way. And I hope there's no Christian that thinks it's any other way. You can boldly come in as though he's your God. Not again recklessly or carelessly. Still, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But we don't have this fear of uncertainty when it comes to approaching God and being received by him because of what Jesus has done. There are others, however, that have this terror, this fear, this torment. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be those that don't have this boldness because they don't have the blood. They're not part of the family. They've rejected this. And we work very hard for those who do not yet receive Christ, have not yet received him. We work very hard, hopefully, to get them to see the light, to enter into the faith. Don't give up on your loved ones, no matter how hard they may be against the gospel. You have no right to forsake them by stopping your prayers for them. You may have to shut your mouth and not preach the gospel anymore to them, but you can go boldly to the throne of God on their behalf. That is called intercession. That is being Christ-like. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you, but I have prayed for you. And we are supposed to be Christ-like in every way. And we're going to come to that in just a moment. And so this love is to flow through us to lost and saved alike, to people we like and people we don't like. We are supposed to love nonetheless. This is a bold love. This is a love that will shine through darkness. And lost souls don't have it. And so he says, because, which is the reason for the hope that is in us. We can have this love. We can boldly stand before God on the day of judgment because we know it's God is love and he loves us. And he didn't die for us just for us to tremble in his presence. Before I was a believer, I would think, boy, if I saw God, I'd be terrified. I've never thought that as a believer. My thought is, you know, and then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. That's how I feel about seeing the face of Christ. Because I know he's got it. He'll take care of all my shortcomings and my sin. He deals with that part. It's up to me to believe him, to trust him, to seek him, to want him. And so he says, as he is, here in the bottom of verse 18, so are we in this world. So, well, let me reread that to you. As he is, so are we in this world. Christ's likeness said in 9 single syllable words. How simple is that? It's very simple. The gospel. 6 of those words are 2 letters in our English language. A.W. Tozer wrote, to accept Christ is to know the meaning of the words, as he is, so are we in this world. We accept his friends as our friends, his enemies as our enemies, his ways as our ways, his rejection as our rejection, his cross as our cross, his life as our life,
and his future as our future.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.